Letzten Reißfunken aussaugen, fliegen, angestachelt, taumel, besoffen davon. Tanzen nutzlos in der Sonne, macht dir nichts aus, sie machen gar aus. Ein Bild für die Götter, schönen Gruß vom Schnitter.
Wesen. there, up there on the stairs. Beware, beware, I hear somebody coming up on his toes. Oh, look, there he goes, why, Mr. Ghost is going to town. He takes his cane, his gloves and his hat, and like a cat, he hurries down the alley. The moon is bright, and this is the night when Mr. Ghost is going to town. Great, and he can't be late. He's got a date to do a little stepping. He'll shake his bone to hot saxophone, 'cause Mr. Ghost is going to town.
Jesus. Listen to this message in tongues.
Amesala mariodo gozidi di himala koshi dalam masende mariondo. Vomiri sindi la marienda la mahasidi anna, vasela ma volo, lisela mahalienda la sonamodo, losala marienda di hisha na mahai.
Hello.
Goodbye.
How he did that. Now, are you going to tell me how you knocked that settee over? Come on, tell me how you knocked it over.
By the bottom.
You what?
Pulled it by the bottom.
Yes.
Underneath.
Underneath it, yes. Yes. Then what did you do?
Make Janet come in the room first.
Why did you have to make Janet come in the room first?
So she gets the blame.
So she gets the blame?
Yes.
Could you do it if Margaret came in the room first?
Might be her.
Or if Mrs. Hodgson came in the room first, could you do it then?
No, she's too old.
She's too old? Could you do it if I came in the room first?
No.
Well, what's age got to do with it? What difference does it make how
old? Take energy from young people, not old ones.
Oh, you only take energy?
Yes.
Why can't you take energy from old people?
They use it all in the day.
Pardon?
They use it all.
Oh, old people use more energy during the day. And do young people store it up then?
Yes.
How do you take their energy?
Electric shocks.
You take it by electric shocks?
More.
Do you take electrical energy then?
Yes, I can.
If you can?
I can take electrical.
You can take electrical energy?
Yes.
If you don't take that energy, could you tip the settee up if you didn't take the energy?
No, I couldn't.
You couldn't
do it? Impossible.
Impossible?
Yes.
You always have to use energy from people?
Yes.
Can't you take energy from anything else?
No.
You can't?
No.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Finished, Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny does your dog bite, no child, no." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Found a mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. A chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granny, where you don't fight, no child, no.
Thank you. night, there's a glow tonight. They're so bright, they can light Fontainebleau blue tonight. She's so gracious, so vivacious. She's not so mean. Bless your little house, click to the core. Acting out her fuss, but a reality frolicking ball. She's such fun tonight, she's a treat tonight. You can spread her out, bread.
When everyone you have ever loved is finally gone, when everything you have ever wanted is finally done with, when all of your nightmares are for a time obscured as by a shining brainless beacon or a blinding eclipse of the many terrible shapes of this world, when you are calm and joyful and finally entirely alone, then in a great new darkness, you will finally execute your special plan. One needs to have a plan, someone said, who has turned away into the shadows, and who I had believed was sleeping or dead. Imagine, he said, all the flesh that is eaten, the teeth tearing into it, the tongue tasting its savour, and the hunger for that taste. Now take away that flesh, he said. Take away the teeth and the tongue, the taste and the hunger. Take away everything as it is. That was my plan, my own special plan for this world. I listened to these words, and yet I did not wonder if this creature whom I had thought sleeping or dead would ever approach his vision, even in his deepest dreams, or his most lasting death. Because I had heard of such plans, such visions, and I knew they did not see far enough, that what was demanded in the way of a plan needed to go beyond tongue and teeth and hunger and flesh, beyond the bones and the very dust of bones and the wind that would come to blow the dust away. And so I began to envision a darkness that was long before the dark of night, and a strangely shining light that owed nothing to the light of day. That day may seem like other days. Once more we feel the tiny-legged trepidations. Once more we are mangled by a great grinding fear. But that day will have no others after. No more worlds like this will follow. Because I have a plan. A very special plan. No more worlds like this. No more days like that. There are but four ways to die, a sardonic spirit might have said to me. There is dying that occurs relatively suddenly. There is dying that occurs relatively gradually. There is dying that occurs relatively painlessly. There is the death that is full of pain. Thus, by various means, they are combined, the sudden and the gradual, the painless and the painful, to yield but four ways to die, and there are no others. Even after the voice stopped speaking, I listened for it to speak again. After hours and days and years had passed, I listened for some further words. Yet all I heard were the faintest echoes reminding me, there are no others. There are no others. Was it then that I began to conceive for this world a special plan? Escaping this world. It penetrates even into your sleep and is its substance. You are caught in your own dreaming where there is no space and are held forever where there is no time. You can do nothing you are not told to do. There is no hope for escape from this dream that was never yours. The very words you speak are only its very words. And you talk like a traitor under its incessant torture. Many who have designs upon this world and dream of wild and vast reformations. I have heard them talking in their sleep of elegant mutations and cunning annihilations. I have heard them whispering in the corners of crooked houses and in the alleys and narrow back streets of this crooked, creaking universe, which they, with their new designs, made straight and sound. But each of these new and ill-conceived designs is deranged in its heart. For they see this world as if it were alone and original, and not as only one of countless others whose nightmares all proceed like a hideous garden grown from a single seed. Heard these dreamers talking in their sleep, and I stand waiting for them as at the top of a darkened flight of stairs. They know nothing of me and none of the secrets of my special plan, while I know every crooked, creaking step of theirs. Voice of someone who was waiting in the shadows, who was looking at the moon and waiting for me to turn the corner and enter a narrow street and stand with him in the dull glaze of moonlight. Then he said to me, he whispered, that my plan was misconceived, that my special plan for this world was a terrible mistake, because, he said, there is nothing to do, and there is nowhere to go, there is nothing to be, and there is no one to know. Your plan is a mistake, he repeated. This world is a mistake, I replied. The children always followed him when they saw him hopping by. A funny walk, a funny man, a funny, funny, funny man. He made them laugh sometimes. He made them laugh, oh yes, he did, he did, he did, he did, he did. Oh, how he made them roll. One day he took them to a place he knew, a special place, and told them things about this world, this funny, funny, funny world, which made them laugh sometimes. He made them laugh, oh yes, he did, he did, he did, he did, he did. Oh, how he made them roll. Then the funny little man who made them laugh, sometimes he did, revealed to them his special plan, his very special funny plan, knowing they would understand and maybe laugh sometimes. He made them laugh, oh yes, he did, he did, he did, he did, he did. Their eyes grew wide beneath their lids, and how he made them roll. I first learned the facts from a lunatic in a dark and quiet room that smelled of stale time and space. There are no people, nothing at all like that. The human phenomenon is but the sum of densely coiled layers of illusion, each of which winds itself upon the supreme insanity that there are persons of any kind, when all there can be is mindless mirrors, laughing and screaming as they parade about in an endless dream. But when I asked the lunatic what it was that saw itself within these mirrors as they marched endlessly in stale time and space, he only rocked and smiled. Then he laughed and screamed, and in his black and empty eyes I saw for a moment, as in a mirror, a formless shade of divinity in flight from its stale infinity of time and space and the worst of all of this world's dreams, my special plan for the laughter and the screams. We went to see some little show that was staged in an old shed past the edge of town, and in its beginnings all seemed well. The miniature curtain stage glowed in the darkness, while those dolls bounced along on their strings before our eyes. And in its beginnings all seemed well. But then there came a subtle turning point which some had noticed, and I was one, who quietly left the show, though I did not, because because I could see where things were going. As the antics of those dolls grew strange, and the fragile strings grew taut with the tiny pullings of tiny limbs, the others around me became appalled and turned away and abandoned the show that was staged in an old shed past the edge of town. But I wanted to witness what could never be. I wanted to see what could not be seen. The moment of consummate disaster, when puppets turned to face the puppet master. Things of this world, it said, are of but one essence, for which there are no words. This is the greater part, which has no beginning or end, and the one essence of this world, for which there can be no words, is but all the things of this world. This is the lesser part, which had a beginning and shall have an end, for which words were conceived solely to speak of. The tiny broken beings of this world, it said, the beginnings and endings of this world, it said, for which words were conceived solely to speak of. Now remove these words, and what remains, it asked me, as I stood in the twilight of that vast empty building, but I did not answer. The question echoed over and over, but I remained silent until the echoes died. And as twilight passed into evening, I felt my special plan, for which there are no words, moving towards a greater darkness. There are some who have no voices, or none that will ever speak, because the things they know about this world, and the things they feel about this world, because the thoughts that fill a brain that is a damaged brain, because the pain that fills a body that is a damaged body, exist in other worlds, countless other worlds, each of which stands alone in an infinite empty blackness for which no words have been conceived, and where no voices are able to speak. When a brain is filled only with damaged thoughts, when a damaged body is filled only with pain, and stands alone in a world surrounded by infinite, empty blackness, and exists in a world for which there is no special plan.
When everyone you have ever loved is finally gone, when everything you have ever wanted is finally done with, when all of your nightmares are for a time obscured as by a shining brainless beacon or a blinding clips of the many terrible shapes of this world, when you are calm and joyful and finally entranced entirely alone, then in a great new darkness, you will finally execute your special plan. When everyone you have ever loved is finally gone, when everything you have ever wanted is finally done with, when all of your nightmares for a time obscured as by a shining, brainless beacon or a blinding eclipse of the many terrible shapes of this world, when you are calm and joyful and finally entirely alone, then in a great new darkness, you will finally execute your special plan.